kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Become a member. I know they're excited for the weekend. Big Vol fans over there at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. It's the official credit union of Three and Out. Been in business almost 90 years. Locations all around East Tennessee.
Thank you.
TVAcreditunion.com. Or just walk into a branch. Tell them you heard about them right here on 3 and Out and Fan Run Radio. Yeah, Chris. 1 year bridge schedule. Because, you know, we've only basically, hang on, let me pull this up. Sankey basically said we didn't have enough time to figure this out because Oklahoma and Texas, you know, their entrance into the conference got moved up a year.
Okay.
I mean, you had years.
Yeah.
Years. Something that, you know, a fantasy football commissioner would, you know, kind of work up in about 12 minutes, you know, as they establish the league and the settings and all that stuff. An organization that makes millions of dollars can't figure it out with years of time.
Or even a week with everybody in the same room.
Yeah, this is their official, I've got their official press release up here. They've established a scheduling format for the 2024 football season as it continues to finalize a long-term strategy as a 16-team conference. The Southeastern Conference has established a scheduling format for the 2024 football season as it continues to finalize a long-term strategy as a 16-team conference. I'm almost embarrassed that I spend so much time watching this crap. You know what I mean? It's almost embarrassing to say, yep, I spend way too many hours watching this stuff. I mean, it's one thing to watch it because we have to talk about it, like, you know, doing your job. But, I mean, I could watch less of it, right, and still come in here and talk and, you know, tell you about our great sponsors and, you know, make a living and go home. Like, I know some people, their job is kind of their hobby, and they spend extra time outside of work hours, you know, trying to become better at their craft and stuff. But for us, like, it is this kind of blend of, it is a job to kind of keep track of sports. But at the same time, it's a huge hobby, and if I had a different job, I would still consume a ton of Southeastern Conference football. It's almost embarrassing, though, to say, yep, this is what I spend my time doing. Supporting these people that make millions of dollars and can't even schedule things.
I don't think it's necessarily this simple. So they can't get paid for the extra game until they go back to the table with ABC. And it sounds to me like they had serious questions with the College Football Playoff Committee about, well, wait, if we're not going to get paid for it, what's the benefit to us for playing this extra game? How are you going to view the SEC for playing the extra game? Are we going to be judged more harshly for one more? I think the SEC was saying, look, if we're not going to make the money for our schools for it, and it's only going to hurt our chances of getting into the College Football Playoff, are you going to weight the fact that the SEC is the best conference as you pick your playoff teams? And if the College Football Playoff Committee is saying, nope, we're taking the 12 best teams based on this, and they're saying, right, but if Alabama, like, for example, last year Alabama had two losses. They finished fifth in the country, which was stupid. We finished sixth in the final College Football Playoff rankings. But if, for example, two SEC losses are going to keep Alabama out of a 12-team playoff, if you're the SEC, and they will not give you the allowances of, hey, yeah, you're going to play the extra game. We understand that that might be a game that's dropped by one of your best teams, but we also understand that this is the best conference in America. If they're not going to give you any of those allowances and you're not going to get paid for it, other than pissing off, you know, a bunch of fans who want to go to nine games, myself included, but what's the point?
No, I'm fine with all that. I think eight games makes a lot of sense now that people have outlined the reasons for it.
It does.
But the one-season bridge schedule is stupid.
We both agreed immediately, like, why not just go two? Why not?
That way it's balanced.
Yes.
If we play Oklahoma this year, in 2024, I know we don't have to play Oklahoma in 2025. It's literally moronic to say, yep, you might have to play Oklahoma both years because we can't figure it out. I mean, we have been engaged in planning for the entry of Oklahoma and Texas into the SEC since the summer of 2021, but the change of the membership date from 2025 to 2024 creates scheduling complexities that can better be managed with a one-year schedule, said SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Creating a one-year schedule will provide a longer on-ramp to manage football scheduling around existing non-conference commitments of our members. It will also provide additional time to understand the impact of an expanded college football playoff and engage with our media partners as we determine the appropriate long-term plan for SEC football scheduling.
You had 2 years.
You're just kicking the can. I mean, this is like an SNL skit.
But it's not. Like, they've already done that. They've already kicked the can. It's like, we thought we had 3 years to do this. We haven't looked at this at all.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, so stupid.
During this time of change, our fans will continue to enjoy traditional rivalries and begin to see new matchups presented by the addition of two historically successful football programs to the SEC.
Blech.
Each school's opponents for the 2024 season will be announced June 14th on a special primetime show on the SEC Network, and dates of games will be announced at a later date. I just don't understand why you know why they didn't want to do a two-year? Because if he can get that money
yeah,
in 2025, he's got to get it.
I just don't.
But why not just announce the two-year and then, if you need to adjust the 2025 schedule to add an extra game, at least keep as many opponents from that second schedule as possible. Or at least say that yesterday so that we don't think you're a – God, about cuss bad.
Mm-hmm.
A bleeping idiot.
I feel like that has to be part of his strategy. It's like, say – I mean, it keeps us talking about it. That's what they want. They want us to talk about – like, they – you know the SEC office was were you on Twitter yesterday when that was announced?
No.
Every
I was at dinner actually.
Every stinking person on Twitter, I mean including SEC fans, were like, "Oh, the SEC, I mean not all of them obviously."
Yeah.
But like all these quote unquote college football accounts, the talking heads, right? I mean it was the topic on the morning show driving in. Like, if the SEC's only going to play eight, then the other schools need to get credit for playing nine. And I can't believe they're the best. They're the best. They're a bunch of cowards. They read off Georgia's out of conference schedule, which I actually thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
They didn't even mention Georgia Tech, who is garbage.
Yeah, like be better, Georgia Tech. And like, then this.
You know, they're saying, like, oh, yeah, what is it? Like, it was actually got kind of impressive. Like, 12 of the 14 Big Ten schools will play 10. At least 10 Power 5 opponents. You know how many SEC teams play 10 Power 5 opponents next year?
How many?
Two. Two of 14. But, like, if I'm a Pac-12 fan or a Big Ten fan, I'm like, see, they don't play anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if I'm an SEC fan, I'm like, buddy, like, did you – and Sankey even said this yesterday. He's like, did you see the final score of the final game of the year? It was 65-7.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so, and he should have gone on, like, I promise you we're the best league. We don't have to give another, because what people are saying is, well, they play these out-of-conference games, these, you know, non-Power 5 games in November so that they can get another two or three teams bowl eligible. And I understand that from the SEC standpoint, too. Like, for depending on the year, and it changes almost year to year. Like, there are teams that are usually pretty good. Like, Florida barely made a bowl game last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm Sankey, like, another SEC game and take out, I don't know, I can't remember who. Who did Florida barely beat in week two? Was it South Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if that's like A&M or something and they lose that, Florida doesn't go to a bowl game, the conference loses money. Like, I think what Sankey's like, is he saying is, hey, it's already hard enough. We're not going to. punish the back half of our league because they're not good yet by making them lose another game, costing us another spot, unless we're going to get paid for it to make up for those two teams that are now going to miss a bowl every year, unless we're going to get paid for it in understanding how difficult this conference is when you select those 12 teams for the playoff. So, like, I really do understand both sides. To me, now that you have all these teams and you're still calling yourself a conference, there has to be more playing everybody as often as possible. Why did you not just say 2 years? Why did you not do that? Because of the money.
Because they want the ability to go to 9 immediately so they can get paid.
Then just like go to 9, and then when the renegotiation comes up and everyone sees the numbers, it's not going to be like, oh, ABC, what do you think? Like, you're, like, I don't know. And I don't know what those contracts look like, so it's obviously very difficult.
It's because – the reason is because
– they don't want to change until they're going to get credit for it.
That – yeah.
They don't care about true. They want on the field as far as getting in the playoff credit.
Sankey doesn't care about it being fair.
No.
Coaches, if it benefits them, want to be fair. Fans, if it benefits them, want to be fair. Sankey doesn't care about being fair at all. He just wants the money.
He wants to benefit
the conference
as a whole.
What's best for the conference and best for the conference's bottom line, because that improves his bottom line.
Right, so if teams are now losing an extra game and not making a bowl and we're not getting extra money for the TV deal, in his mind, I mean, that's dollars and cents, right? That is, this does not benefit the conference unless you're all of a sudden going to say,
okay, listen, Greg, we're going to guarantee 3 teams in every year in the 12. And if there's a 4th, they will get high priority.
But they're not going to do that. Well, not right now.
And you know, having the bridge schedule, which was the first debacle with A&M in Missouri, and not going to a different scheduling model then was stupid. Then they had the COVID year, so they got to just make up a schedule then. So they kind of have lowered the bar, so to speak, with how they run the conference scheduling from a scheduling standpoint. And maybe people don't care that much. Maybe the majority of fans that watch the games and pay the money and go to stuff don't really care that much about how the schedule is determined as a whole. Maybe it's just my own kind of hang up, because like as a coach, I would want to play in a system that if I have the best team, I can win the league type of thing. But I mean, this is college sports. It's always been corrupt. It's always been cruddy. It grew organically, and it's always been a mess. I mean, it's always been that house that, like, started as, like, a one-room house, you know, and then people just been adding on to it for, like, 100 years now. And so it looks all janky and weird, and there's certain sections that
piecemealed together.
Yeah, there's certain sections where, like, one, it looks great, and somebody did a great job, and there's that back room that's like, who the hell? I mean, these walls,
like, the front
square
of the house looks like a church, but there's an add-on in the back that's this big yellow building.
Something like that.
That doesn't really make sense with anything, but it's all one piece.
I got some more scheduling questions, though, now as we build this one-year bridge schedule. We'll hit that on the flip side, because I need your thoughts here on how to make this work. Buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. If you don't understand him, he don't die young. Welcome back to Three and Out. We take the mood down a notch. This is a good song, though. It is a really good song.
To be a cowboy.
All right, Chris. I've been messing around with the teams here. We talked about, like, 3 teams could go 8-0, right?
Yes.
You can't – there's no divisions, so it also doesn't make any sense to, like, have kind of half the league play the – other half of the league's schedule, because then you're going to end up with, like, really some haves and have-nots, just from a scheduling standpoint. But it's kind of a nightmare to try and make it, like, completely shuffled. I don't know. I guess a computer could do that. But then you're just kind of dealing with complete randomness. Doesn't it make sense to try and have some coherent thought on how you scheduled teams from a traditional who plays who standpoint, and a home and away standpoint, and a strength of schedule standpoint, right? Like you wouldn't want to just like, all right, Kentucky, here you go. Here's the 7 worst teams historically in the SEC. You get to play them all. Like, you wouldn't want to do that, theoretically, if you had sense. So I was trying to think of how to do that. I was like, okay, well, what if I actually picked 4 team pods. So to have 4 groups of 4, But I'll put teams within pods that actually don't go together for one reason or another. Either geographically, historical rivalry, and I'll actually put teams together by success. Because what I'm going to do is you're going to play teams from the other pods. So if I put teams that aren't going to play each other together that are the same level of success, then that should theoretically balance out the schedule for everyone. You see what I'm saying?
I think the easiest way to do it would be call it like the farewell tour and play your West team that you haven't played the most recently and then fold in Oklahoma or you know, play your cross-conference non-rival opponent. Like ours would be Alabama. We always play another. Is that right, though? Seven? No, because it'd be eight. You still technically do it that way?
No, then you have to drop an East team. I mean, what do you...
Maybe you could do it that way.
You're starting to see why this is a challenge.
Make Texas and Oklahoma play nine each. Okay, hear me out. Actually, hell, make them play all 12. No, I'm just kidding.
And that's my other question. Are you... If you build a one-year bridge schedule, are you trying to make it literally a one-year and you don't care if you have to repeat the exact same game the next year or if you never see that game again for, like, you? Or are you going to build the eight games?
That's what they did in COVID.
And it's what they did when A&M and Missouri came in the league.
Yeah.
Or do you build the eight-game schedule with at least the thought that whether we keep it at eight for 2025 or go to nine in 2025, we at least want to set this up so that you'll play the teams you didn't play in 2024 in 2025 for the most part.
And maybe that's the part we missed. We're saying it should at least be two. They need to set this up as if it might be
forever.
Yeah.
That's like, what I'm saying.
They have to think ahead. If they can't get the money, if they can't get the assurances from the playoff committee, if all of a sudden the league goes crazy and is just like, oh, instead of there being three really good teams in the league every year, now there's six, seven, eight. You know, maybe it doesn't benefit to go to nine, but they need to set it up in a way like, hey, this isn't a one-year only, we're never going to think about it again schedule. This is a one-year that builds forward.
Right.
Like, they need to schedule it out for the next 16 right. years.
Okay, so I got to – so this is kind of like making a World Cup draw where they seed teams and put them into pots, and then they kind of randomly pull them so that the schedule's pretty balanced, but there's still this random element, so you can't say, I told you Georgia'd have an easy road. So I gotta put teams in pots. So I need your help because I think the easiest way to do it is to pick the top four pot and then the bottom four pot because the middle is going to be almost impossible and we could argue for days on that. We'll just have to make a call. But like if I pick a top four, not necessarily the best four, but like the four that go together from a strength of schedule standpoint but don't go together from a we want to play these teams standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to split Georgia and Alabama. They're not going to have to play each other. So I went ahead and put them in the same group. And then I had to pick Oklahoma. Because I need to pick one of those Southwest Conference teams so that we're not just playing the same old teams we always play. But who's the fourth team? Who would be the fourth best team at the moment?
Well,
I mean, Georgia, Alabama, who's next? Like, just in the way too early rankings. Is it LSU? Are they preseason, like this year, the highest ranked team?
Yes. Yeah.
And then are we next?
Yeah.
Am I forgetting somebody from the West? Is Texas? Like, Texas and Alabama can't be, or Texas and Oklahoma
Texas,
can't be in the
Texas,
same one.
Texas, it's kind of weird. It's like
so I'm
opposite.
I'm moving Texas to the two pot.
Texas is getting the name value and program bump. Whereas LSU is getting like the opposite. It's like LSU overperformed on the field last year based on expectations, even though
I feel like I need a different team though. Like who's a maybe just throw Texas A&M in there? I mean, it needs to be a pretty decent team.
Ole Miss.
But not no, I'm gonna put Texas A&M, but reserve right to flip that around somehow. All right, now let's do the like who's in the bottom four? Vanderbilt.
Mississippi State.
And let's go Mississippi State, and then we'll put Ole Miss in the next to bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Missouri.
Well, yeah.
Missouri, all right.
And then recently would say South Carolina, right?
Yeah,
ahead of,
them Kentucky.
Ahead of Kentucky.
All right, so we'll put South Carolina.
Or below Kentucky, ahead in the worst rankings.
And we're going to put Kentucky in number three.
So that's Kentucky, Ole Miss, Arkansas. Arkansas could probably go to number two also, maybe. No, not. I don't know if there'd be enough space left.
Okay, so I went ahead and put Arkansas in three. Texas, LSU is in the number two.
I would say Tennessee would be in two.
Tennessee, okay.
And Florida.
And Florida, all right. I like that.
That's like historic and like potential. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, the problem is I think that means we don't get to play Florida, but that's okay. I mean, we'll figure that out in a second. And then I'm missing one more team that would be number three.
Who have we not
said? You didn't
say
Arkansas.
I said
I put Arkansas in three already.
You got Mississippi State. You got
Auburn.
Auburn. Okay. Ooh. Auburn and Florida are so weird.
They're either competing for national championships or they are winning five games.
You know, I mean, knowing.
Well, we're going to put. I think let's flip.
Like, even when Georgia was underperforming, they never went like 5-7. Yeah. You know, they were always, you know, 8-9.
Well,
these
don't have to be perfect. We're just trying to come up with some way to do this. So I'll just throw Auburn in with the group with Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Kentucky.
Real quick, just a quick aside. If you were Greg Sankey, like, what criteria are you using? Is it how you feel about them right now? Like, would you bust out the data of the last, like, 10, 15? Like, here's my 10-year set. Here's my 15-year set. Here's my 20-year set. Here's national champions. Here's SEC championships. Here's conference championships. Here's bowl game. Like, what?
If I was Greg Sankey, I would come up with some type of structure, and I would literally draw it on national TV live.
Yeah.
That like they do the World Cup. It's the biggest sporting event in the world. And they get as many people watching the damn draw as they do the actual games.
Mm-hmm.
I would come up with some structure like this where maybe I say, hey, we've decided, we have just made a call that these are the top, these are the groups. Don't even give them seeds. Don't even tell people why we grouped them this way. And then here's the process. And then you let people like you and I and all these other people debate whether that's stupid or not.
Yeah.
You just get more and more mileage out of it, right?
Yep.
You do what we're doing right now, but, like, for real.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is even the best method. Maybe, like, I don't – it'd be really clean if there were kind of four different regions, but they're not. There's really kind of two, but some teams are kind of – can go either way. Like, Auburn feels like it can kind of go either way.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of – Auburn – really should be kind of an Eastern team, but because they've been in the SEC West, it's kind of weird. But when you start talking about Texas, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M, Auburn does not feel like it goes with those teams.
No.
LSU feels like it could, but it's been in the SEC for a long time. It's
right.
Kind of fascinating. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Tennessee Mountain Land. So when's Greg Sankey just going to pay us to do this? Because, I mean, while doing the show, I think we have come up with what would be insane for television.
And he's going to have to pay to get it.
No, we're going to do it right now because we love our listeners. I do need Matt to hold tight, though, for another few minutes so I can just go through it. But then we'll get to you if you can hang tight there, Matt. All right. So don't think of this as seeding. Just think of it as we just pick these teams and put them into groups. So pot one, Georgia, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas A&M. Pot two, Texas, LSU, Tennessee, Florida. Pot three, Auburn, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Kentucky. Pot four, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina. The first thing you would do is you would announce the team's permanent opponent that they will play every year for the next. And you could do this as a two-year cycle and then redo the groups and redraw every other year, like a year ahead. It's like you draw now. And then before year two, you draw again for the next couple years.
Yeah.
So every other year, you'd have this big TV scheduling special. Or you could do it as a four-year cycle and play the schedule through twice. Because either way, you're going to play every team, you know, every other year. that would keep it from, if you did a 4-year cycle, that would make the years where it switches up a little bit weird. Or you could actually just draw this once and that be your schedule forever. But I don't know that that makes, it might be nice to kind of randomize it more often.
Yeah.
Just to have some variety. But you're still going to play every SEC team once out of every 2 years. Like, no matter what. But if you do it this way, you put the teams into these bowls, right? They got their eggs in the bowls. And you first thing you say is, the permanent opponent for the next 2-year cycle for each one of these teams is, and you announce it, Georgia versus Florida. Oh, yeah, we're still going to get the cocktail party. Yay. Oklahoma versus Texas. Yeah, still get the Alabama-Auburn, the Iron Bowl. Ta-na-na, you know. Tennessee Vanderbilt, the battle for the tri-star state or whatever we call it. Ole Miss Mississippi State, Egg Bowl, right? And then you just kind of slip the last ones in that don't make much sense that have to be there. Like South Carolina, Kentucky, yay.
That actually makes sense in my head.
Well,
though,
that one does. You know. Arkansas LSU, battle for the golden boot. And we're sorry, A&M Missouri, but you're the only two left. So
they came in
go.
Together. There's a tie there. That's fine.
Yeah, so there you go. That's who you're playing. Both years, you'll play them home and away. Simple. Easy.
Unfortunately, early that Missouri was tied to A&M. Unfortunate now that A&M, not that they've been very good lately, but is tied to Missouri.
A&M didn't want to play Texas anyway.
Right.
Right? And Oklahoma and Texas, I would assume, still want to play. I mean, that's a huge game. It's a
yeah, there's no way they don't want to play.
Right,
that
right, right. So, then, all right, let's just do Tennessee. Tennessee is playing Vanderbilt already. They're already on the schedule. So, got that set. Now, Tennessee, you're going to pull two teams from pot number one. Pot number one, as I remind you, is Georgia, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas A&M. Well, the nice thing about this is there, you know, there's less of a chance that you draw Georgia and Alabama both than if they were in separate pots because of the way the numbers break. If you were pulling it just completely random, you can separate teams like that. So, you know, Tennessee pulls out their teams. And let's say, Tennessee's playing Georgia. Okay, Tennessee's playing Oklahoma. All right, well, now we don't want to play Alabama. The next year, though, you're going to play Alabama and Texas A&M. Like, it's just going to invert.
Yeah.
And so now we've at least tried to balance that schedule. Right? You're not going to get Georgia, Oklahoma, and Alabama all the same year.
Right.
There's no way that happens. So that's the whole goal of this. Now, Tennessee goes to pot two. So let's say we got Georgia, Oklahoma on the schedule. We go to pot two. And in pot two, that's our own pot, so there's only three teams. We pull two of them. Oh, we pulled Texas and LSU. Oh, that means we're not playing Florida. But we're playing them the next year.
Yeah.
It's still even. It's not even like all this is establishing what year you're playing them, in the odd year or the even year. Then they go to pot three. They pull Auburn and Ole Miss, all right? So that means we're playing Arkansas and Kentucky on the flip side.
Yeah.
So it's a way to balance the schedules. And you pull from pot three, we already have Vanderbilt, so you only get one team out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So we pull that team, and it's let's say it's, you know, Mississippi State. So that means that for
the next cycle of schedules,
for that year,
right,
you didn't get two of the teams out of the weakest pot. So that means on the next year, for Tennessee's example, our schedule's going to be like a half game easier.
Yeah.
And you can't avoid that.
Like, no.
Like, you cannot balance it.
But a half game is fine. What I don't want is,
it's for Tennessee to have to play Georgia, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, Auburn, and LSU all in the same season.
Right.
Yeah. So they might do this all behind closed doors. They might seed it out instead of pulling out a pot, just literally mark every team and try and balance it.
Yeah.
If a team, like we have Vanderbilt, they're in the weakest pot. If a team, some of these teams, like Auburn's going to be the opposite. They're going to have Alabama every year.
Yeah.
And if we did this format, their first schedule they pull is actually going to be easier, then the second schedule will be harder. For Tennessee, it's going to be harder and then easier, and that's fine. Like you said, half game either way, like,
right,
you know, one game swing, that's fine.
Yeah, I just think that in a given year, if you can do that with all the teams and it all makes sense, that gives you a better snapshot of the league. As opposed to, like, the year Kentucky won 10 games, right? Like, oh, well, that team was down, and their West teams were Mississippi State, and who else did they beat that year? Like a Bad Ole Miss team or something? They always play Mississippi State. The year they won 10, did they also beat Ole Miss? Or was that a bad LSU team, maybe? I can't remember
who they beat. Yeah.
Was it Kiffin year one, maybe? No.
No, that was it. That was the field goal game, wasn't it? Like, or that missed extra point or something?
Kiffin was
furious about it. Like, just things like that where, I don't know. And like you've talked about, like, Georgia not playing Alabama for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've played A&M once. Like, imagine if A&M had come into the conference and been a juggernaut, and Georgia has played them once since 2012. Like, what? Wait a minute. Now, granted, they probably would have met up in Atlanta, but...
Kentucky got to play Missouri. They played South Carolina, Florida, and they beat a bad LSU team.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And then they went on the road to Georgia, you know, undefeated and got killed 30-13. They scored a touchdown to make it 13
right,
in the last
late.
Play of the game.
Yep. Yep.
And then they went on to lose, you know, two more after that, you know, to Mississippi State and us. So, yeah, no, I mean, they're going to have to do something like we just outlined so that it's all balanced. If they try and do it in halves, basically Georgia and Alabama will be playing the same schedule or a very similar schedule.
Yeah.
And then teams like Vanderbilt and South Carolina are going to be playing a completely different schedule on opposite years. So, I mean, I guess theoretically that could work if none of those teams kind of rise up like we're talking about with Kentucky and like get lucky in a couple games, because it'll kind of almost work because your best teams all be playing similar teams, then your worst teams all be playing similar teams, but it still really sets it up for some weird crap to happen in the standings.
Well, I guess once you went through one cycle of that, you could reseed the pots, right?
Sure.
You could just like reevaluate, like, okay, you know, over the last however many years stretch, now that we've gone through the schedule once and everybody's, I guess it would be a 4-year stretch.
Yeah, like,
now that everybody's played everybody once at their place and on the road, the last 4-year rankings are this. We're going to reseed like this and we're going to redraw like that.
Because of home and away, what you said makes sense. It should be a 4-year cycle.
Yeah.
Do a 4-year cycle and then, like, let's say A&M had been in pot one. And you're like, all right, A&M sucks now, but Auburn is back, baby. Like,
yeah.
Auburn's got to go into the Alabama pot. And so now we have Georgia, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Auburn as the pot one. Like, sorry about your luck, Auburn. But, I mean, it really doesn't matter.
No, well, especially in that case because they were the permanent opponent anyway.
Well, I mean, if you get an easy schedule in the draw, an easier schedule, then that means your next year's schedule is harder anyway.
Well, the next 2-year cycle, yeah.
Well, and it's still – well, I mean, you're going to go easy, hard,
yeah, yeah,
and then you're going to redo it. So it really doesn't matter. What you're trying to avoid is somebody having a super hard schedule 1 year and a super easy schedule the next year.
Correct.
That's the only thing. So, all right, phone calls on the flip side. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
Thanks.
Final segment, hour number two. We're going to go to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Get your thoughts on all this stuff. We got Matt up first today. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
It's good stuff this morning, guys.
Trying to make it fair.
Thank you.
This is crazy, man. Are we losing the SEC championship or are we keeping it?
Keeping it, but losing divisions.
Keeping it. They're just going to take the top two teams in the standings.
So theoretically, if you took your four pockets you're talking about, you could technically have Georgia, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee playing for the championship.
Yes.
Correct?
Whether they meet in the regular season or not, that's still possible.
Yeah, sometimes it could be a rematch. Sometimes it could be they didn't play in the season.
Yeah. Correct. I just – it's weird. I'm trying to wrap my head around everything. I think there's pluses to it. I'm more looking at the stuff that we lose from it. You know, I'm kind of a traditionalist on some stuff, so you're obviously going to lose the rivalries on a regular basis, like Tennessee-Alabama, right? That's going to go away. Probably zero chance we keep that in an annual basis. And then you're losing the divisions, which I don't like either. I like the East-West. And I know you guys have touched on it. I still technically like I like what you guys are saying, too. The pockets is – it's almost the only way you can do it to make it fair. But I also like the – keeping the divisions with an East-West, putting Alabama, Auburn in the East, and keeping the West where it's at, playing your 8 league games in your division, and then rotating that 9th game with the West team annually. So every every 8 years you're going to play a West team. You'll rotate them out. You know, you'll get them in there and play them. Now I know it's not on a regular basis, but it's better than 12-year stretches that you're going through with Texas A&M Alabama and Georgia.
We mathed this out. What was it? It was like a
5-7.
That can't be right.
Well, what was it?
What are you talking about? What it is right now?
It's more than that.
No, it's 5-7 or 7-5.
Well, then how has Georgia not played A&M since 07 or 2012? Wasn't there like a max of 11 years you wouldn't see another West?
I thought they played once. They just hadn't played at one of the sites.
Right. But they haven't played each other in 11 years.
How's that possible? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't make the rules.
Well, you guys see what I'm you see what I'm saying though. Like at least, I think it's going to be fun either way. We're losing a lot here, just based on tradition alone.
Yeah,
like, all this is just going to pile on in 1 year. You're losing divisions. You're losing the divisional championship game more than likely on a regular basis. I mean, you're going to have how often are you going to see now where Texas and Oklahoma could play for the SEC championship? That sucks, man. I mean, I guess it works out math-wise, but just geography-wise, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean that would be the nightmare scenario for like traditional SEC fans. Like it, I don't think they won one, but I know I was sick to my stomach when Missouri went and won the East the first 2 years they were, or maybe not the first 2 years, but those 2 years when they were in the conference, they won it back to back, like. And it's possible, but it's also weird, and it's going to be really weird because it's new. But yeah, I agree. That would be like a bad feeling if all of a sudden it's Texas and Oklahoma, you know, in Atlanta for the SEC championship. Like that would feel very weird to SEC fans.
Well, that's why I don't think they'll get this right for a while, because they kept Missouri in the East. How does that make sense, you know, 8 years into this? I mean, that's the dumbest thing. When they first came in, they should have popped Alabama or Auburn into the East, or moved some, you know, just moved it around where geography, you know, geographically it makes sense for Missouri to be in the West. It just, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. I mean, that's and I guess maybe the problem is, you know, you've called it East and West, but if you wanted, you could just you could reseed divisions and change the name of the divisions as long as you could get it right. But it's and I don't know, maybe are they too hung up on playing every team home and away and every, like that was the 6-3 model, like, oh, that's why it's so great, you'll play every team in the league home and away in a 4-year span. Are they
you do that with this model too?
No, I know. Are they too hung up on that though?
I think they're hung up on, this is what sucks from my standpoint, is they don't care about that anymore. I think they're hung up on the cash, and I get it. I mean, they're going to do whatever they got to do to get the most money involved, whether it's breaking rivalries, whether it's home and home, whether it's whatever they're going to do, it's going to work out to the benefit of them making that cash. I think, Sankey, you said it earlier, Nate, I mean, they haven't came out with this because he's probably sitting on a cash pile, and he knows it, so they're going to push it to 2025. But, I mean, I don't know. It's exciting, and I think it sucks at the same time. But we'll see. But good stuff, guys. Keep it going.
Thanks man.
No, I mean, you could do divisions. It'd just be like you have two conferences, though.
Yeah.
Like, it'd just be like you have the old Southwest Conference, and then you have the Southeastern Conference. And the winners of those two conferences would just play each other in Atlanta every year. And that would be fine. But I don't think that's the reason Oklahoma and Texas wanted to come into the league. I think they want to be more apart. And you do have to remember, it's not, I mean, I know the money is, but it's not like, it wouldn't feel like all one conference. It's not just football. Like, if you did that in football, it'd be really weird that, like, oh yeah, we play Texas and Oklahoma in basketball, and we never ever play them in football.
Yeah,
ever.
I agree.
So
that incorporates them into the conference faster if you can get them to and away from every site in the conference. I agree with that. Which is, again, going back, like, that's a really weird thing they didn't do when A&M and Missouri came in. But I don't know. Like, at the time, that felt like, and maybe that was just the test run, but when we added A&M and Missouri, I don't remember anybody, like, biting their fingernails off saying, oh, man, this is, like, a really big. It was big because we were growing. This feels like This is an up top move to get Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12. And I don't think you can, and I don't know that they really care, but I think if they, because it's weird, like Texas A&M fits in better with the SEC than Missouri does in my, just in my mind's eye. But I think that they can make that happen faster for the average fan by playing as many of, you know, as much of the conference as you can, as fast as you can. And, you know, I mean, all it takes is one crazy game between Texas and Georgia, and all of a sudden that becomes a rival. Now, is it going to stand the test of time for 100 years? Maybe not. But all of a sudden, that's a really big game for years to come if a controversial ending, right? Like if a kick six type play happens. Like, it can happen that quick, but it only happens if you're able to play all these games and try to build that rivalry.
To answer your question really quick about Georgia and A&M, they did those bridge schedules when they brought in Missouri and A&M, and Georgia didn't have to play them then because they were good, and Georgia had the cakiest schedule. They did play them in 2019, which would have been on that six-year cycle or
whatever.
And now they're just going to miss them.
That's what it was.
On
you,
the back end.
You wouldn't play in someone else's stadium
for
up
12
to
years.
12 years.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Which is crazy. All right, more phone calls. Hour three next.